every time I bring up my favorite movie or song, y'all call my shit corny. You act like I don't have no taste and no flavor. I'm a Luddite or some bullshit like that. What kind of particular shit is that? It's the shit I like. That's what I like. That's my type of shit. You know? Why don't you know y'all just say something nice?
It's showtime.
By all means, please repeat it again. So tell me about Diana Ross and how she needed to eat in order to be able to sing better.
Today is Diana Ross's birthday, as you mentioned before.
Yes.
And I really feel like as if you should buy her a meal and Uber Eats it to her place.
And send it back to 1970 when she needed it, as opposed to now when she doesn't.
Because you said that she has gained weight?
She's a grandmother. She looks like a grandmama.
Pull up a picture and let me see what she looks like now.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, she's not skinny like she was back then. There's a picture of Diana Ross when she got her her Lifetime Achievement Award from the Grammys.
Let me see. Okay, she looks better. But back in the day, as I said before, she looked like a waif. She needed to eat.
She did eat.
She did not eat.
She was just skinny. Listen, Caribbean person, just because people eat doesn't mean that they don't have metabolism. It just keeps them skinny.
No, she needed brown bread with peanut butter on it. She needed carbs. She was
brown
too small.
Bread with peanut butter.
She was too small, Brandon. And it'll win.
She was not too. Now you're being problematic. Some skinny person is listening to this episode right now. Some thin person. See, look at me being problematic.
Brandon, you could see the pointiness of her elbows.
I can see the pointiness of your elbows. Okay, I take that one back. You. I'm sorry.
You and I will have words after this. The point is,
I'm just saying, don't talk about people that you don't know. You know, like, don't talk about Diana Ross and her pointy elbow.
Brandon, look at all the other singers in her group at the time.
Well, Mary was thin too.
Not as thin as Diana Ross.
Okay, not as thin as Diana Ross.
Diana Ross, she could do with some.
I mean, thin was in back then.
But it was not healthy, Brandon.
It was healthy for her because she was just skinny. Anyways,
the point is,
they made her wear padded dresses because they thought she was too thin. If she could have gained weight, she would have gained it.
As you very well know, big women have big lungs. And her voice could have been improved if she ate more.
I just wanted to let you guys know his Twitter handle is at AKA Alibaba. Please tweet him and tell him how you feel about all the problematic things that he has said.
Oh, my talking about problematic things. I'm looking out for you, Diana Ross. Come and find me.
I'm sure she doesn't need your assistance. She's doing fine. Her children are doing fine.
Actually, Tracy Ellis Ross is doing just fine. Tracy Ellis Ross eats.
I like how you think Diana Ross didn't eat.
She was just eating salad.
She was not eating salad. The Supreme sponsored Wonder Bread back in the day.
They did?
Yes, they did.
So she had all the bread she could eat?
Yes.
That sounds like a good deal.
Why are we here?
What?
Why are we here?
We're here to talk about Tracy Ellis Ross.
No, we're not. First of all, you're here to speak into your microphone.
Oh. I'm sorry. Tracy Ellis.
No, nigga, why are we here?
Oh. We're here to talk about Atlanta, season 2, episode 4.
Called? is a woman's name and also the name of a city in North Georgia?
Helen.
Good job. Be a whole fence, Jesus. Be a whole fence.
Why are you like this?
Why are you like this?
I feel like it's like, I feel like this whole show is just two old people. Just,
we're here to talk about Atlanta season 2.
That's a good voice. You know, you're one of the balcony Muppets, Statler and Waldorf, or whatever their names is.
Yeah, and they're always seeing problematic things anyway.
Yeah.
That Diana Ross.
So you apparently had Muppet show down on the island.
What?
Apparently they had the Muppet show down on the island.
Yeah, we had Muppet show.
You
we
didn't
had...
have Carmen San Diego. I learned today that Ali has never seen the live action Carmen San Diego with Lynn Thigpen and Rockapella.
Brandon seems to think that geography needed to be learned from a globe-trotting, red trench coat wearing thief of a woman with exotic features.
Yes, damn it. Because it promoted diversity.
There was a whole channel dedicated to all things sciences and geography. It's called Discovery Channel.
Did they have a catchy theme song? Exactly. So what happens in this episode of Atlanta called Helen?
Mess.
A whole lot of mess.
That's what happens.
It's a very good episode. It might be. No, I still like last week, Money Back Shawty better. But this episode was really good and it was very sad.
So the thing about this episode that I feel like differs from the others is that the others, there are points where you would laugh, but you felt like as if they wanted you to get in on the joke, right? The characters were getting involved in hijinks and you know, just foolishness. And you would comment and you would laugh because of the ridiculousness of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, there was ridiculousness in terms of that
white people whiting.
That festival that was happening in Helen, Georgia. But it wasn't something that you felt that you should, well, at least it's something that I didn't feel that I should laugh at. In fact, there were so many parts that just made me kind of cringe a little bit because it just felt uncomfortable. It just feels weird. And again, watching a show like this, you have to remind yourself that you're actually watching a hyper-realized look at the Atlanta metropolitan area. The things that you're seeing are just, they are like exaggerations. But you know, the funny thing is, after listening to people's reviews and talking to people post episodes, some people have actually told me that, hey, they've had encounters that resemble some of some things that happen on the show.
Life can be surreal sometimes.
And yeah, and so I can't really use that logic that I just opened up with a while ago. I can't really say, well, you know, hey guys, take this with a grain of salt. You really can't take all this with a grain of salt because some of that stuff actually happens. And, you know, Earn's reaction is just one reaction that you can get from it. But trust and believe, people have had a lot more visceral reactions to a lot of the things that have been said to them or things that have been done to them, or they just found themselves in a really awkward situation where they thought, am I the one that's being racist? Am I the one that's being wrong? Maybe probably not, you know? So, anywho, so this episode, like Brandon said, it weighs on me after it lingers in the air. It's one of those episodes where you really need to have a conversation, a good, proper conversation post-episode to sort of clear the air of whatever disagreements that you and your friends might have over what has been said and what was concluded in the episode. Isn't that right?
Is that foreshadowing of some sort?
All I'm saying is, if we were going to have an argument on this about this episode, I'd win. Okay, let's fast forward the episode. Okay, so the episode starts with... Listen! Look at Brandon's face.
They can't see my face over the radio.
So yeah. Brandon, what did you think of just in terms of the pacing of this episode? I wanted to ask, first of all.
It's more relaxed than the other episodes are, okay. But it's also because it's only about these two characters.
Okay.
Earn and Van.
Right.
Well, more Van and Earn, because this really is her episode, not his.
Right. So for those of you who do not know, Zazie Beetz, the actress who plays Vanessa, Zazie Beetz is actually multiracial. And she has a black mother, but a Caucasian father. And she was born and she grew up in Germany. So she can actually speak fluent German.
As we see in the episode.
They've taken advantage of that particular skill set of hers, that part of her life. And they've, you know, it just so happened that Helen, Georgia actually does have that sort of a
so we need feel to explain to the audience who does not live in the area where Helen, Georgia is.
Oh, my bad.
So Helen, Georgia is a small town, like maybe 2 hours, maybe hour and a half north of Atlanta, northeast of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
like you're going to South Carolina.
Right.
It's sort of kind of like has this like German village vibe to it. It's a very popular like tourist attraction. People go up there, hang out in cabins and stuff, and you know.
Yeah, and then you can pop on your Lederhosen.
Well, I've been to Helen, Georgia. We didn't do that shit.
You didn't wear any leather.
No, we went. We were in cabins. We went river tubing. We didn't go in. Like when they go to like the downtown area, I've been to all the places before. I just haven't been inside those buildings because why?
So, question for you.
Uh huh.
You went to Helen, Georgia on like some kind of vacation trip. It was like a
group vacation trip.
Ah, I see. Fascinating. Okay, so we're going to just pair, we're just going to run not a parallel, but a comparison here between Brandon's experience in Helen, Georgia and what goes on with Earn in Helen, Georgia here.
Which is white nonsense.
Which is...
Well, it's quite a piece of the Germans, but...
Oh boy, what an interesting little episode. Anyways, so as Brandon said, this episode focuses on Vanessa and Earn. Primarily the other characters. I guess we'll see them next episode. I saw a preview and wow. That's all I can say. But we won't spoil previews for next episode. We're just going to focus on this one. So this episode, basically, I like how it starts because it's actually a foreshadowing, in my opinion, for a discussion or an argument that's going to happen in basically the second part of this episode, right? So right there and then they establish in one shot, basically, this is the arrangement, quote unquote, that Van and Earn has, right? This is not Earn's home. This is Vanessa's apartment. And here is Earn giving oral sex to Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the episode starts off.
Hopefully your children were not watching this. They had a little warning before the episode came on, but they were serious. Right?
Yeah. They were just like
right
yeah.
into it.
You know, usually when a warning like that comes on, it's usually somewhere in the middle of the episode.
No, it's not.
It's usually somewhere in the episode.
It's somewhere at the very beginning.
When a warning like that shows up?
They're required to put it at the very
beginning. No. When a warning like that shows up, it's usually somewhere in the episode. It's somewhere in the episode, but not usually at the very beginning of
the
episode.
No, it's at the very beginning. They're required to by the, not really by the FCC, but like...
Usually, when a warning like that shows up at the beginning of an episode, it's to foreshadow a scene that happens in the episode somewhere in the middle. Not usually the very beginning.
Okay.
I realized that I left out a couple of words there. That's why you kept on saying that. Okay. Cool. So, yeah, that happened. Establishing this is the arrangement that Earn and Vanessa have together. Earn, Vanessa, sex. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, right?
And he pays for things.
Pays for things, right? So it's interesting. And also then they also have to establish something else too. The fact that let's not forget that even though we don't see the kid a lot, the kid is actually there.
Yeah,
how do you know? How do you know? Because
toys are everywhere.
Yeah, there are toys everywhere. And next scene, an empty car seat.
Right.
As they're driving up to Helen, Georgia. Right? It's quickly establishing that, hey, the kid is not there. This is mommy and daddy's time, or rather, mommy and daddy and mommy's boyfriend's time, I guess.
Mommy and daddy. It's fine. They can be mommy and daddy.
I'm saying that because I want to foreshadow that thing that happens next in the middle of the episode too. Because I'm already foreseeing, guys, that I'm gonna be a little bit upset.
Yeah, his episode got him very angry twice. If you watched it twice, he's been upset twice.
So, anyways. Yeah, so anyways, so as they're driving up, it had a really interesting quote-unquote get-out moment. Because like literally they're not watching the road and they screech to a stop because a hog is in the road eating a hamburger.
It looked like a hamburger.
It looked like a hamburger according to Brandon. I didn't know what it was. But
I thought it might have been a melon of some sort. But now I thought it was a hamburger.
Yeah, it's a weird Ouroboros moment because it's like a snake. It's like a snake eating its own tail.
That's what an Ouroboros is?
An Ouroboros.
Ouroboros.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Ouroboros.
Give Google a
minute. Give Google a minute.
Ouroboros.
But it's weird because if that really was a hamburger, it's like the pig was eating itself.
Hamburgers are made of cow.
What?
Cow.
Why did I think for some reason? Oh, you know why? I know why I was thinking about that.
Did they make them out of pork on the island?
No, I had pulled pork for lunch.
Brandon, I bought a slow cooker and I made the most delicious pulled pork.
First of all, that slow cooker was gifted to me and it is the greatest invention known to man. Okay? Don't worry, Brandon. We're going to get you into that too. Mm-hmm. Anywho, the point is, yeah, but it would have been really, it still kind of is weird though. The pig eating. It's weird. Anywho, but so yeah, they end up in
downtown Helen.
Downtown Helen. Brandon, you said you are familiar with some of the surroundings.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So everything looked kind of...
There's only three blocks, if I'm being generous, of downtown Helen.
Okay. Cool. It's worth noting that as they're driving up, Van is skeptical of the fact that Earn is probably not going to like any of this. But Earn seems kind of optimistic and, you know, he reassures her that, hey, if we don't like it, we can just leave and go back to the cabin and do cabin stuff. Right? So basically, the moment they end up in town, I mean, the latent schism is very apparent, right? Because Earn and Van, Van is dressed in a traditional German woman's outfit. mm-hmm. right? Because they're here to attend the festival on behalf of Van. It seems like as if Van probably grew up in Helen, Georgia. That's what it seems like.
Or just that she hangs around these people and has been up here enough times. I don't feel like she's grew up in Helen, Georgia. Necessarily. Okay. I'm not sure.
Because I feel like that's kind of what
or she might have like. Grown up in Germany like Zazie Beetz did.
Somehow she
learned German.
I don't think they went that. I don't think they would have gone that far, though.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel like it's just you grew up in this area and you had friends who did this stuff, and so you just tag along with them.
I'm going to Wikipedia to see how many black people live in Helen, Georgia.
Okay, but obviously not many. From this episode, not many. But anyways, so yeah, as I was saying, it's worth noting that as they're walking up to the festivities, it is clear upon my second viewing that there are people, white people, who are behind the windows of their storefronts. They're staring at them, especially Fern, as they're walking past. It's very creepy. It's almost, I feel like as if there are some of these episodes, especially the episodes that have a racial theme to them. I don't know why, if it's just because I've seen Get Out. Every time I see scenes like this, it makes me very uneasy, and it has like a really horror element to it.
As it should, because being a black person in America is a horror show.
I mean, it definitely does feel that way. It made me feel very awkward.
So, two things about Helen, Georgia. First of all, it's not authentic.
Okay.
So it was a logging town that went to decline, apparently. And so in the late 60s, they decided they were going to duplicate like the look of an old Bavarian alpine town, like, you know, from Germany, from the mountains.
Okay.
So every building in actual, like, in the city limits is required by law to have that look to it.
Okay.
So, like, if you go to, like, Wendy's building has that look to it. It's like how Vinings is here, closer to town. It's the same thing.
Okay.
And people, only 510 people live there. At the time of this last census, well, the 2000 census, apparently, it was 430 people there. 5.12% of them were black.
Okay.
So let's do this. Let's do a calculator. Okay. 430 times 0.0512. 22 niggas.
Okay.
The synchronized sip was amazing.
Okay. thank you, Brandon, for that. Very informative information on Helen, Georgia, to put things in perspective for us.
You're welcome.
So, as I was saying, it does fill me with a deep sense of foreboding as people were peeking out of their window storefronts to look at Van and Ern as they walk past. It was like as if they haven't seen any black people before. And it almost, the way they were looking with these kind of curious, hungry eyes, it made me feel very unsettled. Because it made me feel like as if you guys were plotting something. So, but again, this is coming off of, I'm deeply traumatized by Get Out. So my mind has trained itself to see every kind of scene like that as a potential for some pretty horrific shit to happen. Anywho. So they get into it looks like a festivities hall or whatever you want to call it. And I forgot the name of the actual, festival.
Oktoberfest.
It's not Oktoberfest.
They have a sign on the back of the wall that says Oktoberfest.
Yeah, true.
But I just, it's sort of other name to the festival. Yeah, but I couldn't remember. It was like straight up German.
Okay. Even though you say it's Oktoberfest, I think that sign is just there. Because Oktoberfest is one of the things that's being celebrated in this hall. Like it's like a hall for all the festivals that happen in Helen, in that particular, you know, place. And I think Oktoberfest is just one of them. Yeah. That's what I think. Anybody, do you want to shed some light on that for us? That's awesome. But yeah. So quickly, they meet up with two of Van's, you know, acquaintances. Although the friend of Van's, this black girl, I forgot her name. But, you know, she seems from...
Let me see what IMDb has her name.
From the following like conversations and interactions that they have, you know, we feel like as if it's either two things. It's either A, she grew up with this girl from the time they were kids, you know, so they were friends, really good friends.
BFFs.
Or Brandon suggests that she may be actually Van's sister.
Or cousin.
Like some kind of blood relation.
Yeah.
Right? But there's this closeness about the way that they talk to each other, they interact with each other. And her boyfriend, or is it her husband? Not sure. Boyfriend or husband. One of those. The point is, he's white.
Lord Jesus.
And that is what you should take away from the initial interaction. Is that here she is. She meets up with her. You know, she completely ignores Earn. She pulls Van away, leaving Earn to interact with the white boyfriend. And that pretty much kicks off a whole slew of you know, just foolishness.
So they don't have her name? Actress is not on the IMDb. The white people added themselves.
Okay. All right, fine.
I should read you the plot description for the episode that comes from FX.
Okay.
When you go outside the city, white people be acting different. That's why I can't even go to Marietta. Too weird.
Dang. They let him wild out on this. On FX. Wow. That's why you can't even go to Marietta. Whew. Alrighty. Marietta, Georgia, for those of you who don't know at home, Marietta is north.
It's a suburb.
It's northwest of Atlanta.
It's not as far as Helena, of course. It's only like about 15 minutes outside the city, but you know.
Right, but the demographic, it does a drastic change. It kind of does.
In certain parts, it does. But there are black people living in Marietta.
Okay. But you do have to agree that the demographic does take a change.
Well, it used to.
Okay.
Now, we're talking about Atlanta in 2018.
Okay. That's true. Atlanta is kind of, yeah.
Gentrification.
It's happening. All right. Anyway, it's also worth noting that as Van and Earn were walking up to the festival hall, she did mention to Earn, hey, just FYI, one of the traditions is people dressing up in blackface. Just so you know. So don't freak out. And one of the things that I like here is that when Earn's like, didn't you ever feel kind of weird when you saw that growing up? And she's just like, nah. I always feel like as if Van... Does it feel to you that Van doesn't really... Is she just kind of immune to...
She's not immune. She's just tired. She's probably just used to white people's bullshit.
Okay, because she seems a lot more just...
You're never immune. You just, oh, well, that's white people being white.
Okay, because Earn always has a much more pronounced reaction to racism than Van does.
Oh, you right. This white woman is looking. Ooh, they looking.
They are. But anyways, So yeah, Van doesn't have much of a reaction. She's like, yeah, I mean, that, like Brandon said, that's just white people being white. So I mentioned that because literally, it doesn't take 5 minutes of Earn being there for this white girl to run up to him and be like, oh my God, that looks so real. And she reaches out and she grabs on Earn's cheek.
Reach out to touch.
To with her thumb and to smear what she thinks is black paint or brown paint off. And when she realizes that nothing happens,
she's so embarrassed.
She is so embarrassed and recoils.
She thought she was in hell. She thought she was free.
And yeah, she thought that she...
Reach out and touch that nigga's face. Don't you know it isn't his black face?
She recoiled and she was like, oh my God. I just thought, oh my God. And then she just runs away. And I'm just like, and that's when Earn realized, yeah. Yeah, this is not the place for me. Definitely not the place for me. And I mean, from then on, every scene that follows this is Earn just getting more
and more fed up.
And so what happens next is it's quickly shown that Vanessa, this is Vanessa's element. Like, she is used to these people. She's used to these festivals. She's used to all the games involved. She knows everything and she's ready to show it off to Earn. But there's an interesting thing I noticed too throughout this episode when it comes to Vanessa and this particular festival. Mm-hmm. This is Vanessa's time to show off in front of Earn. I know German. Mm. I know about this festival. These are my people. I know them.
I know how to poke a dance.
I know to dance the way they dance. I know this is my Rome, and I know how to be the perfect Roman. That's
a good point. Yeah, because she's in her element.
Yeah,
you are right.
That is Van's element right there.
Ooh, Earn is problematic. We'll get to it.
Yeah, but anyways, so
also you should mention that the fucking the demon monster is walking by.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I'll mention that too. So basically, there is in this festival, there is a creature, there's a person who's dressed up as a creature, and the whole point of this creature is that they will eventually, throughout the festivities, they will steal a personal item off of one of the festival goers, and it is when the festival goer realizes that their stuff is being stolen, everybody in the festival stops what they're doing and they go on a hunt to find that person's stolen item. Right. And, you know, that usually ends the festivities. That person is crowned like the master of the festivities or something. And voila. So, you know, it's a really creepy looking wolf sort of creature. So for people who know me already, I don't fuck with mascots. Let me just put that out there.
Uh-huh. Hi, little boy.
I don't
want to get your hug.
I don't like people.
Of course, Mickey. I'll give him a hug too.
No. Really? Really? The Goofy movie? You have no idea how much I wanted to smack that rat.
Beat it, doofus!
Yeah. I was so happy when he smacked it too, and he made the head go the other way. Yeah. It was so annoying. But yeah, I don't like mascots. I think they're creepy.
You must hate sports games.
I don't like it. Like, at my last college, it was a leopard, and I was always.
Are you sure it wasn't a panther?
No, it was a leopard, and you stupid. So
it never gets old.
I used to work AV support for the events at the college, and some of these events had the leopard show up, the guy in the leopard outfit, and he had the big head. And every time that thing tried to walk near me, I started to sweat bullets because I just didn't want it to look my way. I don't like them. They freak me out, man. And I've always said, like, man, if this thing comes close enough, I might just punch it. Like, don't do this, bro. If you don't want this, please just walk away. So anyways, so when I saw that whatever creature thing, I was like, oh my God. If I was Earn, like, I would be, ugh. I just want to think about it. But anyways, so it's walking around and it has a really creepy laugh to it.
So between that and the blackface, Earn decides, because Vanessa was trying to get him to wear a mask.
Yeah. Or at least have a costume, but if not that, at least a mask.
Right. So at this point, he's like, look, just give me a mask.
Yeah.
And he gets a hockey mask, but For some reason, Hockey Mask just reminds me of Jason from Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it's clearly Jason. It's clearly a Jason mask, right? So everybody, and again, Earn, as if he wasn't standing out already for being the only dark-skinned black person there, he stands out even more because everybody is dressed in traditional German outfits and Earn has a...
They all have like masks that sort of kind of fit the tone, but he's got like a... Jason mask.
Yeah, he has a Jason mask. Anywho, so they're about to have a game and it's some kind of a traditional ball game where they all sit around in a circle. And here's where I just feel like as if Van just started to mess up. Van quickly tells Earn like two lines for instructions as to what to do, thinking that, oh yeah, he'll totally pick up on this game, right? But really and truly, it was, in my opinion, that was a trap. That was a trap.
Yep.
I truly feel like Van wanted Earn to make a complete fool of himself trying to play this game. Because she even tells someone, oh, this is his first time playing. Like, don't worry about it. He's new here. It's okay. Right? And it just sounds so goddamn, like it sounds so condescending, Brandon. It really does. So imagine Van's rage when Earn ends up winning the game. She even pulls him aside and is like,
You got lucky. No, the funny thing is he wins the game. Like, but what was it? Hoot Scoots? He wins the game. But the idea is he don't know what he's doing. Like the idea, I guess you toss the ball back and forth and then Richard try to put him into like the jug. He wins the game by simply taking the balls he already has in his hands and just putting them in ever so casually into the jugs in the center of the little ring that they are sitting in. Like, just bloop, bloop.
Yep.
Like a kid could have done that.
And everybody goes off.
How did you do that?
It's like, oh my God.
Wow.
It's like him being black gives him magical powers or something.
That's exactly how I felt.
It's so weird. Like,
magical Negro.
He's a magical Negro. And of course, Van is just there like, damn it, I'm light-skinned. Like, I can't do that.
Wow. Wow.
I can't do
that. Wow. This light-on-light violence.
Come for me, Brandon.
The sun needs to come for you first.
Really?
Yes.
Really, are we going to do this? Okay. Anywho, so yeah. So Van's like, yeah, don't get too cocky. That was just luck. And it's like, Earn isn't even trying. He really isn't. He does not want to be here. He's already over this place. It's not even 10 minutes. He's already over this place. And so again, if you think about it, in the wider picture of the season so far, from last episode, this was Van's opportunity to stunt on Earn and she dropped the ball there. So basically,
she didn't drop the ball. He's trying her.
Huh?
He doesn't realize that he is trying her.
Oh, you know when you're just there and you're just being yourself and it's just like that's pissing somebody off? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry, Van. But anyways, she picks up the pieces really fast because she slides right into the next part, which is, you know what? Fine. Let's just get a drink. Bartender. So she goes up to the bar and, I skipped that. I forgot.
Table tennis.
I'm sorry.
You're right. You're right.
Does she go up to the bar first?
They go to the bar first. You're right.
Okay.
And then we have, this fucking, bartender, Mr. GQ here.
So bartender, the Germanist of Germans with his overall the look and everything. And I don't know if he knows Van, but they go into a mile a minute German conversation. Fluid German. And notice that they don't put any other caption.
Oh, they didn't translate shit for us.
They didn't caption.
Feel the way that Earn feels.
Exactly.
Because he's just sitting there watching.
Because he's
speak to his girlfriend in a whole entire different fucking language. She don't know what the fuck's going on. He's like, excuse me, service?
And here's the deal though, right? Even though you don't know what they're talking about, you can hear the inflections in their tones and you can look at the expressions on their face.
And see
they are clearly flirting with each other. I mean, like Brandon said, I mean, he might as well just be saying, you know,
baby, I wanna do all of things a man won't do. I'll do them for you.
I know you don't have that song on the island, but
okay. Okay. Hilarious. Anyways. So yeah, it's obviously upsetting Earn, right? Because if there's one thing you can do to really disrespect somebody, in my opinion, is have a whole conversation in another language that they don't understand, right? It's like, why are you excluding him? You're excluding him on purpose. It feels like as if you're, you know, you're trying to have a secret conversation. Why? Right? So he's already ticked off. He's even more upset. And he's like, hey, can I get a drink? Van is like rolling her eyes and is like, you know, why can't... It's almost like as if, why can't you just let me have some fun here? But Van, I thought you guys were supposed to be together. What are you doing? I'm confused
here. I mean, to be fair, as she points this out later in the episode, they always do Earn stuff. Like the world of the show exists in his world. Of Atlanta, it technically exists in Alfred's world.
So here's the deal. If that's the case, right? And you wanna do Van things, right? Uh-huh. Is it just that you wanna do Van things and watch Earn be uncomfortable? Or do you wanna do Van things and actually include Earn so that way both of you guys can be happy? Which is it?
She wants to do Van things and for him to support her by participating in the Van things. Even if he doesn't want to, he should do it for her. Is how she feels about it.
So what part of supporting is he supposed to do when she's trying to get into that guy's pants at the bar?
Okay, that's different. That was trifling.
Oh, okay. I see.
Well, I mean, was it true? It was trifling on the dude's part. Like,
I'm sorry. I could have sworn I saw Van also smiling.
I'm Team Van. I can't call her trifling.
You're Team Van. She's clearly smiling and like, ooh, just.
He was pretty.
Oh, really? Are you talking to me? Are you?
He was pretty.
Are you complimenting me on my?
Earn is all frowny and stuff, looking like Debbie Downer.
Yeah, but he's whatever that guy's doing. He's clearly complimenting her. And he's
putting that white voodoo on her.
Yeah, he's trying to get out the draws.
What?
So anyways, I totally understand why Earn is upset. Moving along, they decide to... Oh, I also wanted to point something out too that I made a note of. This is where Van fucked up again. When they were walking, so as they were, as they were walking up to the bar, she tells him, you should really learn German. And I'm just like, Van, when is Earn going to use German? When? Tell me.
Well, in this episode of season 6, where they get stuck over in Berlin as they make their way home.
What? Really? You're going to do this?
I'm helping.
You're going to do this?
Helping.
Wow.
But,
okay. Anywho. Hmm. But yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Why? The fact that you would bring up something like that, like, you should really learn German. No, you shouldn't really learn German. When would he be doing that? When would he be needing to use German for? I mean, yes, directly after that, you slid into a conversation with the bartender. But I mean, that just served to upset him and to make him feel awkward. I don't see the point here. But anyways, yeah, there'll be more times for me to get pissed off between the two of these people. They have a little argument, obviously. They go on to play tennis. So they go off to play table tennis and, you know, Van destroys him. let's just be completely honest, right? Van completely wrecks him here, right? Hmm. And Earn is upset, and the argument starts off with him basically saying something to the tune of, why do you always have to, when we're around people, why do you always have to show out so much? Why do you always have to completely like destroy me when it comes to like us like playing a game or a little competition? Why do you have to go so hard to prove that you're better than me? when we're playing basketball or whatever on the court, you don't see me doing that with you. Why do you have to do it in front of everybody else? And of course, Van is like, what are you talking about? Everybody else is dancing inside. And then Earn sort of like cocks his head to the side to show Van there's this one creepy,
dude
one
in a mask,
lonely,
out.
Creepy guy off to the corner in a mask. Just like the kid from that episode from last season in Van's class when she was a teacher. Do you remember that kid?
One of the white face?
Yes. This dude is just there. He's just standing there and he's not making a single sound. And Van's just like, I would be creeped out too. She was like, oh my God, was he standing there the whole time? And Van and Ron's like, yeah, he was. And she's like, okay, fine. Whatever. Let's just go over to this side. And of course, Earn pulls back and is like, no. Like, we're having this conversation now. And, you know, they go back and forth. Brandon, would you like to go into, you know, just the conclusion to all this fighting?
You're being a fucking baby, I think she says. And then she walks off. And he waits until she is fully out of earshot before he says, fuck you.
Yeah, but he's talking to the...
He's talking to her.
No, he's talking to the mask.
But he's saying it at her.
Okay, but he's...
But he's talking to the mask guy.
Yeah.
He waited until she left the room. Because he's not... He might be a little bit slow in uptake sometimes, but he's not dumb at all. He went to Princeton. He knows better than to tell the black woman fuck you to her face.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because clearly in the argument, he wasn't smart enough to know that he shouldn't tell a black woman that, hey, you shouldn't shit on where the money's coming from. It's actually paying your rent.
Oh, yeah, that.
But that's okay. But the part...
Because she talks about how we always get to do your stuff. I went to a strip club. I didn't want to go to a strip club. I don't want to see titties. I don't want to always go, you know, like go to Alfred's concerts all the time. He's like, don't shit on that. That's what's paying your fucking bills. And she's like, you can be so mean sometimes.
Yeah. So in here, I have to agree, Van. Like, dude.
That was cruel.
Like, there's a ton of times.
This reminds me a lot of that Lawrence Easter episode.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of does. But the thing about it is, though, I sort of see Van's point. Because there have been times when we've seen the both of them together. And it's like, this is the second time where Van and Earn are together, and she, when it's her choice, she's put him in a situation where he's clearly some sort of like an object or a piece to show off to other people or
to. That's what he does to her.
Huh?
That's what he does to her.
What?
That's what he does to her.
When does he show her off to people?
He took her to a strip club.
What?
He spent all last week trying to show her off, trying to take her out and be a big baller and break $100 bill.
That's not showing her off. I want to show you a good time with this money.
Did he want to show her a good time or himself a good time and show that he had money?
Yeah. But he also wants to show Van, look how much money I have, Van. Look how much I can do this and that.
The reason why Earn is mad is because she is treating him the way that he always treats her, and he can't take the heat.
I can't do it. No, I won't abide by it. I won't have it.
I will not have it.
Not in, no, you can't do that, Brandon. No, because I seriously feel like as if there's a small part of that that Earn uses. So for example, part of him stunting on last episode was to have Van on his side, right? Because that's part of the whole image thing, mm-hmm. right?
As an accessory.
Right. But I will not say that Earn does this all the time to her, uses her as an accessory.
Yes, he does. He uses her as a place, her house is a place to stay. They've had relationship problems since the first episode of this program. He like I mean, she's right, you know, spoiler alert for the, she's right to break up with him. She's within her rights, well within her rights.
Here, let me just say this though. When I'm talking about showing her off as an object, I'm talking about in terms of in front of other people. bringing her along to things just so that people can say, oh, that's your girlfriend. Oh, she's pretty. Oh, yeah, it's really nice. I don't see that in Earn. Earn doesn't do that. What you're talking about is Earn mooches off of Van. Yes, he does. All the time. Mooches off of everybody, to be completely honest.
He uses her.
Yes, but I'm talking in this particular instance, right? I'm saying that whenever Van comparatively takes Earn out, it's always for his assistance as an accessory.
That's right, like this in last year with the, well, not 2 years ago, my guys.
Juneteenth.
Juneteenth, yeah.
Yeah. What am I doing here? You're just here to help. You're here to help me network.
But you don't feel like she feels the same way.
What the shit?
You don't feel like she feels the same way when she's at Alfred's concerts and things and all that kind of stuff?
No, I think genuinely Earn, because he's a guy, because penis, he probably thought that she was enjoying herself. Because he's oblivious. Thinking about Van's feelings isn't something that comes naturally to Earn.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. But he probably thought that she was I'm saying is that when Van does it, she knows what she's doing.
And he does it, he's oblivious.
When he's doing it, he doesn't know. He's just...
Okay.
Yeah, all he right. just doesn't realize because, right. you know, because he's a guy.
Because dudes.
Right, because dudes, right? And that's what Van is trying to tell, let him know. It's like, hey, you think I want to go to a strip club? And he literally says, I thought you were enjoying yourself. And then she's like, are you serious? How can I be enjoying myself? I'm a woman.
I don't want to see titties.
I have my own. I can see them whenever I want to.
They're right there.
They're right there. One, two.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? Yeah. That's what she's trying to say. And same for, you know, you always take me to Al's concerts. And then he comes in with the don't shit on that because that pays your fucking bills. But the fact of the matter is he probably thought, oh, I was sticking her along because I thought Van was having a good time. I didn't realize that you hated it. You never said you hated it. You know,
Laura, you never asked.
So there's that too. But that's not saying that Van is invalid in what she's bringing up. Because yes, you know, she does feel like as if, hey, we always get to do what you want to do. But whenever I want to do what I want to do, you don't want to support me in it. You just want to like take off. Now, granted, though, the things that we've seen Van want to rope Earn into, that's asking a whole lot of somebody who isn't here for white bullshit. Do you agree?
Well, maybe the things that he asked of her are also asking a lot of her.
But
she don't like rap music. We never even asked her.
But Van, baby, you don't talk about it though.
Maybe she does. He doesn't listen. Because the one thing about the show is that 80% of it is from Earn or Alpha's perspective.
Right.
Generally speaking. Like the things about her episodes that stand out so much is that the entire tone of the program shifts.
Right.
When we do like, because we've only had three. We've had Loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the P test.
Right.
We had Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this one.
Right.
Notice how different the tone is.
Right.
The episode.
It's just, I get the feeling that, again, I feel like as if this is another issue that a lot of people have spoken on podcasts I listen to where it's like,
oh, dear God, hold on. No, keep going. Keep talking. I gotta go turn that air conditioner on.
That there's a dynamic that happens between guys and women in a relationship where a woman is and it's a really problematic way of thinking, right? On the guy's part, where guys just feel like as if, oh, a woman should just, you know, or basically guys feel like as if women they just endure, right? And women sometimes feel like as if they have to endure for their man, right? Meanwhile, she's over here. She's probably feeling miserable, right? She clearly stated, no. I mean, you can say what you want about what she might have wanted to say before. But right now, right in this instance, she's telling you that she doesn't like those things like strip clubs, and she doesn't like those things like Al's parties all the time. She doesn't always want to do the things that you want to do. Right here, even though she has probably been quiet about it before, if she has been quiet about it before, right? Right now, right here, she's telling you, she's trying to be honest with you, and you should take that seriously, right? But what does he say? It pays your bills. You should be happy. You just shot all over. And this is the thing too. I bet you this is one of those instances where Van feels like as if, hey, if I were to just be honest once, maybe he will listen to me.
Nope.
That's not even the case. Maybe if I say what's really on my mind, maybe I'll get the respect that I deserve. Maybe he'll see things from my perspective. No. He just says, no, I don't want to do this. I hate it. I can't stand it. I don't want to do any of this stuff. You know, and then when he says that last line, she's like, you know what? You can be really mean sometimes. And then she walks away. She's upset. And she's rightfully so. Anywho, yeah. So the next scene is, I think, eventually...
She goes back to the party herself.
Yeah, but then Ern has a discussion with the white boyfriend because he feels like as if, you know, the way Van is, you know, came at him just a while ago, it seems kind of unfair to him because he feels like as if she's trying to force him to do things that he doesn't like doing. While the white boyfriend presents another perspective where it's like he's saying, hey, this is what girls do.
She wants to spend time with you.
She wants to spend time with you and you end up having to do things that you don't always like to do, but you should just go along with it because it supports her, because it's precious time that you guys are sharing together.
And she's like, this is what girls do. They tie their life into yours, so it's harder for you to like
So even though on one hand the glass half full, this is he's giving advice to Ern that hey, you should just go along with it. On the other hand, the downside is this is almost not as much problematic, but this is also kind of problematic too, because what you're saying is it's not so much that, hey, Van's trying to share her world with you and she wants you to have a good time. No, it's Van's trying to wrap her entire world around yours, enveloping you in this prism of commitment. Like, when you present it like that, of course, Ern's gonna be like, yeah, I don't really like that sort of thing. So, Vanessa is now talking to the same friend that she met up before at the very beginning. Hey, friend,
can we just call her Gina?
We're gonna call her friend Gina.
Add us with the names. I'm sure they said it somewhere in the episode, but I don't have closed captions on, and so I can't tell. And she's not on the IMDb. Mm-hmm. So
they're having a conversation at first, and then suddenly Gina gets ambushed by her other white friends at the party. And they come to her and they're like, "Oh my god, how are you? Whatever, whatever." And she completely forgets Van, and I noticed that happens a lot too. And that's where I feel like as if Van and Ern share a personality. Mm-hmm. For some reason,
they
tend to just vanish into the background even when they're literally 2 seconds ago talking to somebody. I just don't understand why this keeps happening to them. So this friend is about to have a whole conversation and she just realizes that Vanessa is there only because the two people that met her, they're darting two vans in Van's direction awkwardly, wondering, why is this random girl standing here awkwardly waiting to be called on during this conversation that the three of us are having? Only to have the friend turn around and say, hey guys. This is Lottie's mom.
And apparently these are Ern's friends from work, because these people who work at the
because restaurant. Yeah, that's the guy
from the thing.
He's the manager for
Clark County.
Clark County. Oh, Lord. Yeah, he's Clark County's manager. So clearly, it's not like as if they should be strangers or introduced. The point is, she introduces Van not as, hey, this is my friend Vanessa. It's, this is Lottie's mom. And I'm just like, where is Van's name? Right? And then when the friend, when the white friend is talking to her, I don't know if it's her husband. I think, yeah, it's her husband. It's her husband. He says, no, she says, hey, babe, this is, this is Ern's, no, this is Lottie's mom. And he goes, oh, Ern's girl.
Christina is her name.
Ah, so her friend, so.
That's Christina.
Swap Gina for Christina.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
So, yeah.
And apparently what they, I guess, maybe they're not related, but they're both Afro-German.
Okay. All right, cool. Okay. So here's the deal. So, again, Van is introduced not by name, but by her title.
Mm-hmm. Right? Lottie's mom.
Her given title. Lottie's mom, Ern's girl.
She's not allowed to be herself.
Yeah.
I think is the way I'm trying to stress. Like, she's not allowed to be herself or have her own identity.
When she's around Ern.
She's defined
who,
by her,
who she says
Ern.
Right.
She's the mother of his child. She's his girl.
Right. Exactly. And all that just builds up the frustration because, like, you know, Brass Brown says, she just had a conversation about that just a while ago. And you'd think that she would only be getting that from the men around her, like Ern. No, she's getting it from women too. Her friend, whom clearly they seem to have a deep friendship with. This seems like someone she's been with friends with since they were in elementary school. But somehow, this friend introduces her as Lottie's mother. And the other people know her as Ern's girl. She just can't catch a break, right? The identity, her individuality seems to be continually being like sort of stripped away. And this has reached a fever pitch where she's just, you know what? She just walks away. And her friend Christina runs up back and is like, hey, 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 what's going on? Hey, talk to me. Just let me know what's going on. And here comes another problematic conversation because boy, was I over it. Brandon, could you please let us know what goes on here?
So basically they start talking and she, you know, she calls her friend out for the whole thing about, I have a first name, you know it. You know it for a long time. Why don't you address me by it? And Christina's all like, well, you know, like, it's just that you make it look easy though. Referring to being described as Lottie's mom. You know, that because she's with Ern, Ern is black, it looks better for her being a single mom, apparently, than it looks for Christina, because Christina's the father of her child, who I assume is not her current boyfriend, is, basically what we're led to believe, is white. It's like, I chose black, you chose white, you know. Like, you know, you always hang out with the black kids and everything, and I didn't, so.
Christina is trying so hard in this episode.
She's in the second place, bro.
She's trying so hard in this episode to get punched. but God is a mighty God. And he stays Van's hand each and every time this girl tries it. So, first of all, really though, I chose white and you chose black? What do you even have to make? Here's the thing I like about this too. Vanessa knows where her friend is going to go with this conversation, but she lets her friend be extremely explicit with it because when she's about to lay into her friend, she wants it to be very clear that there is a real reason why I'm telling you this. I'm not telling you this because I think you mean these things. I want you to literally tell me what you're saying, because she was just like, you know, you make it seem so easy. And Van literally leans in and is like, what do you mean? And it's like, yes, Van, let her dig her own grave. And she's like, well, you know, it's just the different, you know, it's like the paths that we took, and you know, you're that kind of person, I'm that kind of person.
And you have kinky hair.
You know, and she's just like, how so?
She gave her the Oprah face.
Yeah. I was just like, look, listen. I'm over here like Cat Williams. How, pray tell, Christina? Oh, how, pray tell, right? And so then Christina finally drops the line. You know, I chose white and you chose black. That's when Vanessa was like, all right.
Well, she had it. She'd have had it.
That is the green light. Thank you. That is the green light for me. Now, I'm going to tell you about yourself. Let me tell you about yourself. So, first of all, you keep talking about this like as if we're two completely… We're so different. When really and truly, you yourself have light skin like I do. And you keep talking about kinky hair when you have kinky hair as well. It's just that
you straighten it.
So I don't really understand where you're going with this. Furthermore, you kept hanging around these people, but you didn't even want to hang around the other black people. So I don't understand where you're coming from with that. Then she goes, well, you know, you never wanted to hang out with me and Melanie. And
Melanie.
You know, so Van was just like, that's because Melanie.
The writer's room, I just imagine they went to like a search for like whitest names possible and just, you know, put them on a hat and drew them out. And Melanie was the one who came out.
I mean,
you just imagine blonde hair, blue eyes, a grin about the size of Lake Michigan,
and a sundress.
There's probably a white woman listening to this with a sundress right now, like, yeah. You motherfucker! We are sorry, man.
Yeah. I have you know, Daddy Warbucks picked this out for me.
Like, not while I'm trying to have water. I almost choked to death. Thank you.
Look, Brandon. I was like, Big Daddy Jebediah picked this out for me.
Move forward, please. We gonna get letters. You sound Scarlett O'Hara because she's a white woman from 1965 and shit.
So, anyways,
1865. My bad.
So, anyways, so Van, you know, Van retorts back that that's because Melanie was always mean to me, and then her friends Christina's like, okay, well, you never invited me to your black parties. And
Vanessa, that's because like, you act like you were always better than us.
You act like you were always better than us. You came around, you were condescending. You know, you just, that's who you are. And then the two of them get into it because she's the friend of Christina's like, oh, well, I think you're just going too far. And Vanessa's like, not really. You're the one who are putting me in a box. You're telling me that my whole existence is defined by my relationship with Earn and the fact that I had a baby with him. That's it. You can't even introduce me by calling out my name. You literally introduce me as a person oven. That's what you introduce me as. What the shit? So yeah, I totally understand Van in this case, and she was right to put her friend in her place. So right off the bat, Vanessa's not getting any, she's not getting any help. She's not getting anybody on her side because she literally legitimately had a legit argument or a problem or an issue with Earn. And the only friend, quote unquote, that she had to confide in, you know,
it's the German.
She just showed her ass. And so now, you know, Van is just by herself. In this case.
And she also where she discovers that her cell phone is missing.
Yeah, so that's when
the hunt begins.
Yeah. And then it takes a huge nosedive here because that butt ugly, scary as fuck furry thing stole her cell phone, and now the entire bar is out here trying to
whole crew searching, trying to find it.
Yeah. So basically, as this is happening, you know, so the whole Scooby Gang is out searching high and low.
Mystery Incorporated.
Huh?
Mystery Incorporated. That's the actual name of the Scooby Gang.
Okay, that's fine.
Mystery Incorporated.
Mystery Incorporated. So Mystery Inc. is out here searching for Van's cell phone. Van is having a conversation again with
Ryan Felipe. With Ryan Gosling, German. Just say both of them put together, really?
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Felipe Gosling, German.
No, not Felipe. Philippe. Ryan Gosling, Philippe Gutenberg. Listen. Okay.
I mean, because that reminds me of Steve Gutenberg, who I'm sure you're too young to remember.
Probably.
Yep. Okay.
So here they are having a conversation again in German. But this time, the conversation isn't as problematic. So they're definitely allowing us to read the captions. And the conversation basically stares into... So Van has basically found the... finally someone to confide in, basically, about what she's going through with Earn. Meanwhile, Earn is just a couple of paces at the back and he is stewing. If Earn was a cartoon character, there would be heat rising from his hair right now. Because it's pissing him off that this is all that they had this argument. But for you to go back to the same guy I saw you flirting with and to have a whole conversation in German with, and I don't understand a fuck what you guys are talking about. Clearly, I mean, anybody would be, you know, even more, you know, just incensed. But anyways, funnily enough, the conversation that Van is having with the guy, he's basically giving her advice on what to do with the relationship. He's not telling her to leave Earn in explicit terms, but he is telling Van, you know, things like love is what you make it out to be, or, you know, you have to first, you know, learn to love yourself before you get into a relationship. Right? If you shouldn't be trying to force yourself, you know, into this kind of situations where you feel like as if you have no way out, blah, blah, blah. This guy is telling Vanessa all the things that she wants to hear so that she can feel comforted, basically. Meanwhile, Earn is doing at the back. Anywho, she breaks away from the gang because...
Nature has called.
Yes, nature has called, and there are no... what do you call those things?
Port-a-potties.
Port-a-potties.
Port-a-potty.
Port-a-potty.
Registered trademark.
Port-a-potty.
Port, like a port.
Port.
A, like a. Like a.
A port.
Potty.
You guys are weird.
What do y'all have on the island? Y'all don't have porta potties on the island when y'all building stuff?
Trees.
Nigga.
We got trees.
Please continue to recap.
Y'all are too fancy up here.
Damn myself.
Anywho. See, you always make my people out to be savages, Brandon.
We're savages.
But anyways, nature has called, Van. So she finds a dark alley next to a bin, and she's answering the call of nature. When suddenly the creepy, and now that he's in the darkness, I'm going to also assign a new adjective to him. Rapey creature rises up behind her.
Like a horror movie.
Like a horror movie.
They really did shoot a scene like a horror
movie. She's got her... Dude, she has her drawers down. She's squatting. She's doing her business. This thing rises up behind her. Scares the shit out of her and she punches him out.
With one punch.
Yeah.
She's one punch woman.
Yeah. She is one punch woman. As anybody should. And suddenly she sees herself. She hears her cell phone vibrate and it's actually Earn. And he's saying that we need to talk, basically.
Yeah. And the white people all see her like, and they all crown her like, you know, queen of the festival.
She's like
whatever.
The master of the ceremony or whatever you want to call it. Right. So that happens. And yeah. So
also she has Earth the Kit as her lock screen. That's awesome.
I didn't realize that. I was trying to look upside down to see what that was.
It's Earth the Kit.
It's Earth the Kit. Is it in her costume or is it just
really it's just Earth the Kit?
Just being
Earth the Kit did more than play Catwoman.
No, I'm just asking if it was Earth the Kit.
It's Earth the Kit in Earth the Kit clothes.
I don't care. I just like her voice.
Black people calling it.
Why are you doing this? anything like this. You think I don't know anything else about Eartha Kitt? That's messed up, man.
She was a singer. She's on Santa
that.
Baby.
I know that.
Santa Baby.
She also has a very iconic voice.
She was the voice of Yzma.
I know.
She was in Boomerang.
Pull the lever. Wrong
lever. She was in Boomerang. Marcus. I'm not wearing any panties.
I like her voice. Her voice always sounds like, you know, her voice always sounds like a needle being pulled through a hole while someone's like sewing. It's very careful, very meticulous. With all the S noises.
Harry Belafonte cannot handle a Negro woman like myself, so he only dated white girls. That's like a paraphrase quote from her.
That's funny. Anyways, so Brandon, would you like to take us through the conversation that Ern and Van have at the very end of the episode?
Oh, Jesus. Van meets Ern back into the outside of the bar, which is empty at this point. And, you know, she asks him, what do you want? Which is always the leading question we start with for these conversations.
That's how you wreck a relationship, by the way.
And when he answers in the wrong, he's like, no, what do you want from this relationship? And basically, he's like, you should go first. he's like, do you want to go first?
He's like, this is a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap. It's a trap.
I can see a trap when I see it when a mile away.
Yeah.
That's a trap if I ever saw one.
He asked her first. She's like, I want to be in a committed relationship where I feel valued as a human being. And I said, woo!
Man, if you don't speak it, then it cannot become a reality.
And then she's like, so what do you want? He's like, I don't know. But this works for me.
No, first of all, that little bitch nigga. I mean,
come on, Maxine.
First of all, Ern says that's a really good answer. It's like, thank you for that assessment, Ern. And then he's like, I don't know what I want. What I do know is that this arrangement works for me. Arrangement, as in to say, so. As you can see, this is a really good call.
Like I told you, he is using her.
This is a really, and I don't disagree with you. I'm saying that you need to use the correct word in every situation. Yes, he's using her, but is he showing her off to other people?
It's implied.
That's where
it is subtextual.
You are trouble. Anyways, the point is though. He's calling back the beginning of the episode where the arrangement is I pay bills, I support you and the baby, so that way I can fuck you whenever I want.
It's some patriarchal 1949 bullshit.
So that is
for white people. Because I want to tell you people, if like, because Yada shared some shit today. Yeah, I know I don't see it for Yada. He don't see it for me because he's like 4'11".
Okay.
But he's some meme that was going around that I saw earlier elsewhere about how, the man should provide for the woman 100%, you know, with his job, you know, which, you know, that's that, you know, the ideal 1950s Eisenhower era white family where the dad works, the mom is a stay-at-home housewife who takes care of the house and the kids. Of course, she still needs a maid who is always a Negro. But I want to make sure people understand, Black people have never been in that sort of, most Black people have never been in a sort of financial situation where
they can afford to do
that. They can afford to do that. Both parents, generally speaking, always worked.
That's some madman.
You know,
that's some madman logic right there. That's how the titular character and his wife were in Mad Men.
Yeah, yeah. In the cities, generally speaking, the dad, you know, worked in some sort of factory, did some sort of like job like that, or was like a busboy or something like that, or elevator operator. The mom was a maid. In the country, everybody picked cotton.
Okay.
And other assorted vegetables and textiles. You know, even now, so the thing is, once Black people got to the middle class, that's when the prices of housing and taking care of kids and things start to skyrocket to where now you need two incomes just to have like a basic standard of living. Mm. So we were never afforded that magical world
Like, I mean, Earn is lucky in that, you know, he's literally lucky that he
but here's the
his
thing,
cousin though. Is a successful rap star. And so he can sort of do that sort of thing. But he also, he can't even be bothered to provide even a little bit of emotional, like.
Emotional support would have been nice.
Not just support, but just emotional balance.
Or at least show that I hear where you're coming from, right? What can we do?
At least like her as a person.
What can we do as a person?
Not because she's pretty.
The other thing is, too, please note that Van had a job up until the end of last season.
Yeah.
Right? So it wasn't like as if Van is just somebody who was comfortable with just staying at home doing nothing.
Right.
She was actually working.
Yeah.
It's just that right now she's in between jobs. She doesn't have anything for now. But the idea where the arrangement is you let me do whatever I want because I'm basically being the one to pay for all the bills and stuff.
No.
That is, dude, what the hell? Earn, for all your mannerisms, your quirky mannerisms, dude, I just cannot get behind you for that. I really, really cannot. I'm sorry, bro. But I can't stand behind you for that.
Right. And so what happens is that Vanessa realizes that, you know, so she does. It's a riff. I don't know if you ever have seen Love and Basketball.
Yeah.
You have, with Sanaa Lathan and Omar Epps, where they used to play basketball, you know, like one-on-one as kids. And then when they're adults, they, you know, dated, broke up. And then when he came back and they came back to the same basketball court, she's like, I'm going to play you to 21 points. For what? For your heart. I remember rolling my eyes in the theater. Oh, God. But it made it work. It's a romantic comedy. So she said, like, you know, she wants another round of ping pong. Like, you know, the best of five. And so she starts playing. And after, I think, the second game.
Well, remember, why did she want to do that?
She wanted to prove a point. And the point is that after the first or second game, when she wins fairly easily, I think probably just after the first.
Deal. What did she see?
She wants him to fight for her to prove that he actually wants her.
What did she say?
Is there something I'm missing?
Didn't she say why? Because he's like, what's the point?
No, that's the point. That's what she says.
What?
She wants him to prove that he actually wants to fight for her.
She wants him. That is what is implied.
She says that outright.
What?
Yeah.
She literally says those words.
Yes.
That entire sentence.
Yes. Especially after she says he's not really trying that hard because he just thinks the whole thing is silly. She starts playing very aggressively. She's got her game face on and she's knocking the ball like crazy. I'll play it for you, but
I'm just saying he asks why and she's just like,
and he keeps asking why.
And she says, she didn't say anything about I want you to fight for me. What are you talking about?
All right.
She does not say any of that stuff.
All right, I'll play it for you and, well, I guess I'll mark this so I can take it out of the edit. But that is exactly what she said.
Yeah, she didn't say
it. Maybe not exactly, but I'm 90% on the ball with, like, it's something along those lines, because it was important that when she said it that way.
I think she just said a very short sentence, like a really short.
It was a short sentence, but I'm adding more to it. But foreshadowing.
What you're implying is completely correct.
Yeah. Like in the first time they play, when it's just for fun, supposedly he's not even trying.
Right.
Which is the implication that carries over into this one. But basically, right. Basically, though, you were right. But what she says is that because they're not going to hear us having just watched it over again.
Right.
So we need to explain that. So basically, we know she's like, we're going to play if I win. You know, you don't have to talk to me unless it's about, you know, Lottie or money.
Right.
You know, if he wins, you know, they will keep trying to have a relationship. And so.
Right. And then
he's like, I don't know what it's supposed to prove. And she says, what it's going to prove is that I'm tired.
Exactly.
And so they play. She's got her game face on. He's sort of kind of like got a blank expression. And so then we cut to them seeing them in the bed and they sort of kind of like turn to opposite sides.
And then she drives them home. So it's a reverse of when they came up.
Right. Because it's implied that clearly she won.
Yeah. And so when they get home, she goes in the house and he's like, I'll pick Lottie up from her mom, from my mom's house. The next day, and she's like, okay, closes the door, and that's it. They have broken up.
Yep. Yeah, I think.
Which is sad.
What do you think? Do you think a lot of people saw this coming? This breakup?
No, I didn't see it coming. I thought they were getting better.
I didn't. It just didn't feel like there was a thing there that was strong enough to keep them together. It more felt like it didn't feel like the connection.
It felt like he had nowhere else to go. Yeah, but although I thought maybe they could find something,
I don't know.
But apparently they couldn't.
It just felt like
like I said, he did mistreat her and all kinds of stuff. But I guess she can do better.
Yeah, but the thing is, they just felt to me. It's my story together. It was just like they're just circumstantial, right? They're circumstantial. They're circumstantially next to each other. Like, you're here, I'm there, let's bone. Right? As opposed to, I'm putting in some kind of an effort into this relationship. It's just, hey, we've known each other. I trust you enough to do this with. I'm too lazy to go find somebody else. Let's just do this. Like, it never really felt like there was a deep connection between the two people. So I knew eventually, I just felt eventually, I didn't think it would happen in this episode. I just felt like eventually they would have to deal with the fact that, hey, maybe we're just not good for each other. Maybe, we should just take a break. So I saw this and I was like, okay, it looks like this is the episode. So yeah. Brandon, do you feel like as if Van and Ern could make up and actually do better in the future?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Do you want them to... What do you want for Van and Ern?
I would like for them to be cordial, at least. And mm-hmm. for us to see more of Vanessa so that she's on the program more.
Okay. For me, I want this to not be a relationship anymore. Actually, what I want is to show a different angle of how two people who have a child can have a relationship that doesn't involve that kind of intimacy, right? Where let's see a side of people where it's like, hey, we have a child together, but we can still treat each other with respect and we can put aside our differences for the child. That's what I want to see. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I need for that Christina friend to not show up in any of the episodes. Just boy, oh boy. And that's the thing about Vanessa and her friends. So far, the friends that we've seen with Vanessa, man, all of them are problematic.
Every single last one.
They are problematic. Like,
I mean, but look at Ern's friends.
And it's like, why does she hang around them? Like,
they don't have no good friends.
She's...
Neither of them. Look at Ern's friends.
Well...
Nope. Mm-mm.
Alfred isn't a friend. He's a relative. So I'm not going to use him. Darius, I don't really see a huge problem with Darius. I really don't see Darius as a huge problem.
He's crazy.
He's...
Well, it's he's problematic. He's just in his own world.
Yeah, but Darius has not shown to be someone who's a problem. Do you feel like Darius has shown himself to be somebody who's a problem?
Yes.
Really?
You mean he's not trustworthy? You mean he's way out there?
He's just way out there. He's just one of those goofy, weird-ass friends, But you need to be able to realize that so you don't go ahead making him responsible for big things, right? So, I mean, we can't really call him Tracy because, we've been known that Tracy's just,
Ain't shit.
Yeah. Al is only in the picture because Ern needs him to make money off of him, pretty much. So I can't even use that because in a sense, that means that Ern is using Al. And Al knows this, which is why he doesn't really care about Earn. Because you're only here to mooch off of my success. Which is why his ass is going to get promptly replaced sooner or later in this season. And it's going to be one hell of an episode. Because
mm-hmm.
you already don't have that storage container. And now you can't sleep at Van's place. Where are you going to be? Because Tracy is sleeping over at Al's. So there's no more rooms for you, bro. Where are you going to go?
With Clark County.
Bye.
Speaking of bye, we should probably go ahead and go.
Alrighty. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps up this episode of Say Something Nice. Brian, I believe we got shouted out by...
Podcast in Color. Media. Thank you so much to Barry from Podcast in Color. She featured our review of the last episode, Money Back Shawty, on her Instagram feed. We really appreciate that.
We really do.
Us being here acting raggedy late at night. Me about to kick him out of my house again.
Well, all right then.
Yep. Just so you know, you can start packing now. You got 5 minutes.
Well, all right.
And for as you guys, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to hear more of our shows, you can find us at ssnpodcast.com. You can find the Say Something Nice podcast on all social, on all podcast catchers, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, etc. so forth. Under that name, Say Something Nice Podcast. And you can find us on all social media under the handle at SSN Podcast. This has been the Say Something Nice Podcast. I am Brandon.
This is Ali.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Take care.